to speak out and, you know, in these instances. So I wanted to say that, and I also wanted to say that you asked about when this was brought in, fluoridation was brought in Oregon. I actually, one of the persons that brought it forward in 1973 signed my petition because I was carrying the EPA book in 2006, the National Council Research book. And when I was presenting my case about fluoridation, I opened it up to what it actually is. And it is actually, since it is the fluorosilicic acid, he immediately signed my petition.
Thanks for your testimony. Hi, welcome back.
Thank you. Mayor Adams, council members, I'm Bob Mendelson. I'm a pediatrician. I've lived in Portland all my life, practiced pediatrics for over 42 years here. That means that I can remember back to the confusion at the time when Portland voters actually voted fluoridation in, and then the mayor, in his infinite wisdom at that time, decided that we didn't mean it and declared that we'd have another election. In that election, you had to vote no to maintain fluoride in the water, and it lost again. The other elections, the people have voted it down for various reasons. I think it's time, as a pediatrician whose main role in life has been to help and improve children's health, to do something preventatively like we have in so many fields during the years that I've been in practice. The most obvious is immunizations, the diseases we used to see in everyone we don't see anymore. 77% of the population of the United States has the privilege and pleasure of having fluoride in their water and don't give it a second thought. I'd like Portland to join that 77%. It's embarrassing to those of us who practice pediatrics in Portland when our friends find out that we are not a fluoridated community, the largest one in the United States. Prevention is important. We can prevent tooth decay and improve dental health with fluoride in the water, and I strongly urge you to do this and to do it as soon as possible. As soon as possible would be May of 2013.
Thank you very much. Hi, welcome. There you go.
My name is Sabrina Louise. I am a Whole Foods consultant. I am also work for a small environmental nonprofit called the Unitarian Universalist Ministry for Earth. I grew up in a water fluoridated municipal system. When I was 10 years old, my mother said, "No way, Jose, we're not giving you this hydrofluorosilicic acid stuff, which is an industrial waste product and a neurotoxin," and she gave us a reverse osmosis filtration system. The only cavities I ever had were during the years before we got that filtration system when I was 10 years old. After that, I had no more cavities. I went through the rest of my life without any cavities. As I got older and moved out of the house, even when I went on to college and away from parental influence about what I ingested, one thing gradually changed, and that is that my diet gradually got better. It improved, and my teeth have improved, and I have not had any cavities. One of the things that we're not talking about here is everything we put in our mouths feeds our cells. Everything from what mothers eat and drink when they're pregnant, their prenatal care, their dental care, and what happens when lactating mothers are eating food, whether it's nutritious food or non-nutritious food, greatly affects the oral health of the infant and the young child. And I feel that a lot of what is missing in this conversation is the nutritional care and the prenatal care that's happening in these marginalized communities with these children that have teeth that are horrible. I think that they've got toothpaste and they've got mouthwash and they've got fluoride treatments, but no one's really talking about their diet. And I feel like if we spent as much time and energy putting into improving people's diets, then there'd be a systemic improvement overall.
Thank you. Thank you all. That's everyone who wishes to testify. One more. All right, this is the last chance. If you don't take a chair this time, you don't get to testify. All right, hi.
Hello.
All right, these are the last three. All right, thank you all for your patience and persistence. Would you like to begin?
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. I had the privilege of testifying this past September. Waited 6 hours to talk for 3 minutes. Today, I guess I get to talk for 2 minutes. Had to run out and put more money in the meter, and I did put more money in the meter.
Thank you very much
for
your contribution.
Could you tell us your name, please?
My name is Eric Brody. I am a pediatrician, and like all pediatricians, like Dr. Mendelsohn, like Dr. Wu, like Dr. Feldman, we all spend our entire careers working on prevention. I had the privilege of working at Kaiser Permanente for 23 years, and the philosophy of that organization is founded on prevention, and people have mentioned immunizations. As far as the politics of this whole thing is concerned, again, I would reiterate that the science is the science. It's done. It's over. Daniel Patrick Moynihan, famous New York politician, said, "You're entitled to your own opinion, but you're not entitled to your own facts." And the facts that are true are true. The facts that are not true are not true. I don't know how to convince people who don't believe certain scientific facts that they are true. Majority, I don't know what it is. The politics of this concern me in that I think a stall is a stall is a stall. The beginning of this conversation, when I was sitting here, a filibuster is a filibuster is a filibuster, and that's what I was really nervous when you, Commissioner Leonard, gave people unlimited amounts of time. I thought I'd be here until 8 o'clock and never get heard. And it's interesting to me that one side took 70-some-odd minutes, the other side took 36 minutes. That may or may not be a virtue. But I think it's important to remember what we're here for. We're here for the kids. Like Dr. Foray, I too spent a number of years working in Chicago, moved out here and found the incredible changes in, and I worked for the poorest of the poor there. I worked at Cook County Hospital and came out here and found worse teeth in our insured patients. I believe I said that last September. And I guess my time is up.
No, your time is up. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, welcome.
Hi. My name is Heidi Jo Grubbs, and I am here representing the Oregon Dental Hygienist Association. And we also support having this vote in May 2013. We are out there on the front lines, you know, talking to people about how to, you know, prevent dental caries. We are the ones who are typically, you know, talking about nutrition and all the different factors that play into it. We do assessments to, you know, see are they drinking a lot of sugary drinks or not. So we look at all these factors in one-on-one and with the families. We try to address the issues. The thing is, there's just not enough hygienists and not enough people coming in to see us to individually reach all the people that are out there. We see time after time, especially as we go out using our expanded practice permits into these low socioeconomic status locations, and we see the decay, not just in children, but in adults and in all sorts of populations. And we strongly urge you to, you know, make this vote happen in May 2013 in order to help try and stop this process earlier. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you. My name is
Jessica
Rodriguez Montaña, and I am a board member of one of the groups who has joined the coalition, the Oregon Latino Agenda for Action. And just for the record, we were not paid by any other coalition member to do anything, to say anything, or to form part of the coalition. I want to thank you, Mayor and the Commissioners, for allowing me to speak here today. My name, as I said, is Jessica Rodriguez Montaña, and I'm a proud Portland resident. I am here to represent the families that often cannot attend these hearings, families like the one I grew up in. My family and I grew up below the poverty level and without health or dental insurance. Despite our difficult upbringing, we had good health and healthy teeth. I now realize one of the reasons I had healthy teeth, I grew up in a fluoridated city in Texas. I worry that my decision to start a family with my husband in Portland will be to the detriment of my children's oral health. Fortunately, I am better financially now than I was as a child, and I will be able to provide my children with excellent dental care. This, unfortunately, will not be the case with many Portland Latino community members who, like me when I was young, do not have dental insurance or access to dental treatment. Our country has enjoyed the benefits of water fluoridation for over half a century. This debate has gone on long enough in Portland. 6 additional months is more than enough time for voters to decide on what is one of the longest-standing public health practices in the United States. I was proud of my mayor and commissioners for standing up for the health of my community. Please show me, once again, the commitment you have made to the health of all Portlanders, and schedule the vote for this coming May so we can improve health and the lives of Portland children and families. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Testimony is closed unless there's council discussion.
Mayor, I wonder if we could have a brief council discussion.
Yes.
And I'd like to pose a couple questions to the author of the resolution. First of all, the framework that is before us in terms of the legal framework for a decision is part of the Portland City Code, not the Charter. Is that correct?
That's correct.
But it was crafted by a prior council based on authority given to that council by the Charter, correct?
Correct.
Under our code, the earliest possible date that petitioners could have sought for a referendum is May 2014, correct?
That's right.
Had the council taken up the question of fluoride in December of 2013 and had citizens successfully referred that to the ballot, it would have been on the May 2014 ballot, correct?
I believe that's right.
Unless the council chose an earlier date. I checked with the auditor, but I just want to put it in the record. There is no reference in the petition to an independent scientific review. Is that correct?
That's right.
Unless there's additional council discussion. Thank you, Commissioner. Carla, would you please call the vote?
Leonard?
Well, it just so happens to be this will be the last vote that I'll ever take as an elected official. Some will applaud because they're glad. Others will applaud maybe because they wished I could, but it seems that's how my career has gone. When I was 22 years old, I was a student at Portland State, and I signed up to be an intern in the Oregon legislature. And the first issue I wrote about for that political internship, and I worked in the House Majority Office, which was the House Democratic Office for then State Representative Ed Lindquist. The first issue I wrote about was a debate on the Oregon House floor in 1975 on the subject of fluoridation. And little did I know that 38 years later, my career would have taken so many different turns, and the very last vote I would take would be on fluoridation. But the reason I wrote about it wasn't so much I was interested in the subject matter. It was the intensity of the debate, which included something I ended up serving in the legislature in both the House and the Senate in subsequent decades. But something happened that day I'd never seen before or heard of before or since. A shoving match between two members of the Oregon House on the House floor in the middle aisle on the subject of fluoridation, shoving each other. And I sat up in the gallery and furiously took notes about the shoving match and this debate that occurred then, which is exactly like the debate we're having here today, except there are more recent scientific studies, obviously, that have occurred since 1975. So from then till now, 38 years, somebody said this has been a debate for 25 years. Another person testified it's been for 30 years. Well, I remember the first debate 38 years ago. And what a debate. So we've had lots of discussions about this since last August. I'm one that thinks that if an issue isn't thoroughly discussed and understood, there should be more analysis done. But I'm not persuaded that those that are arguing that we need to have an independent review really are for an independent review. It did not escape my notice as we sat here today that as scientists and pediatricians and doctors testified that those that were against fluoridation were shaking their heads no and doing a thumbs down. I mean, when we're sitting up here, we can observe everything that's occurring out there, and the body language was telling, which was basically just like this. I'm just not interested in your opinion, whether it's based on science or not.
Hey, Mr. Coleman, there'll be no speech.
I think that what this comes down for me in the final analysis is this is a public health issue. And I've been persuaded by the debate that the positive effects of fluoride dramatically reduce cavities in all people, but particularly children, and particularly children that grow up in low-income areas who don't have the ability always to have access to healthier foods and the healthier lifestyles that admittedly would obviously help oral health as well. So for those reasons and many more, I'm pleased to be able to vote aye.
Fritz?
I don't believe this changing the date makes sense for either the proponents or the opponents. In 2009, which was the last year that we didn't have a presidential election or an election for city council, the voter turnout countywide was 62,000 people. That was 15%, 1.5. In 2010, the voter turnout was 140,000, 35%. If we're really believing that Portlanders will make a good decision on this, we should encourage the vote to be at a time when more people will be participating, particularly when we've just had 44,000 people sign a petition and over 30,000 of them. Actually, if you could not indicate, it's kind of distracting. I appreciate the support, but thanks. So we just had over 30,000 people sign a petition saying that they wanted the date to be on 2014 to change it to 2013 at the primary election. I believe endangers the likelihood of it passing for those who are proponents. It also ensures that the initiative, which this petitioners will be gathering signatures for from January through May and thereafter, it ensures that they will be able to get enough signatures to put it on the ballot for a charter change in 2014. So for those who said that this, it says in the resolution, the public interest in the prompt resolution of the question, it won't promptly resolve the question. It will ensure that we are discussing this for another 17 months in addition to the 4 months, and it's just 4 months that we've been discussing it since August of this year. So that doesn't make sense to me. It's not, I believe, in the public interest to move the date at a cost of $36,000. Yes, that is weighed against the benefit to children's health. And we've got a $25 million hole to fill this budget year. And I can think of a number of things that I would like to spend $36,000 on this year rather than this special election. We have are facing a crisis in water rates, and I don't know how much $5 million puts up the water rates, but that should be a decision that should be made by the next council. Our citizens are smart. If we give people time and information, if we're on both sides, if you are convinced of the veracity of your arguments, you should welcome more discussion. I promised during my election campaign that I would lead that more reasoned discussion. I didn't say an independent scientific panel. I said, let's have some discussions in Portland neighborhoods. And we have had a lot of good testimony on both sides, and we have had some misinformation on both sides. So for those who are believing that this is the right thing to do, having some more time to win people on your side, whichever your side you're on, makes more sense. Election campaigns are not about reasoned discussion of the details of a proposal. They're about sound bites, as somebody said earlier. And this is a more important issue that deserves more discussion than side bites for the people for whom it is intended to help, for the people of color and communities of color and people with low incomes. The disparities continue after fluoridation. So when are we going to have that public health discussion? And in terms of public health discussions, we have a legislature going into session in February of 2013. I don't think that fluoridation in Portland is the most public health issue that those legislators and all of us on the council should be addressing right now. There are lots of things that I want to see passed in Portland and at the state level, including earned sick leave, when 40% of our low-income families don't have a single day of paid sick leave. That's the kind of discussion that I think we should be having with the legislators rather than having soundbite discussions in a campaign for May of 20, 2013, which will then be repeated in May of 2014. I had volunteered to lead a citywide discussion. I'm not willing to do that between now and May. It couldn't be a reasoned discussion on the broad picture. It would be a yes or no on fluoride, the chemical. There's a lot more to this issue. And in answer to the earlier testimony of did I look into all those questions that Francis and others asked, yes, I did. And I came down having done that research intensively over 6 weeks and more hours of testimony. I came down on the side that, yes, I believe that on balance, fluoridation is the better way to go. This is something that's going to affect every single Portlander and people in the rest of the community who drink Bull Run water. And I believe there should be that kind of reasoned discussion. I trust the people of Portland. If they get good information, we make good decisions together. Let's make this decision together rather than making it us against them. No.
Fish?
You know, my 19-year-old daughter and my 8-year-old son are home this week, and I'm sorry they weren't here today to watch this hearing. Because whatever conclusion you come away from today, I thought this was in our best tradition of having a thoughtful and respectful debate about a big subject. And as many of you know, when I was asked prior to this hearing, I said I'm inclined to support this application, but I was going to come in and listen intently. I think it was important to be here today, all of us, to be here to listen to this debate. So I want to just step back for a moment and begin where I think this began, which is a vote that this council took unanimously in September to support the fluoridation of our water. And at that time, after weighing all the evidence, I concluded that it was safe, cost-effective, and a common-sense approach to promoting public health. And I believe that one of our most important responsibilities is protecting the public health. And part of protecting the public health is preventing problems upstream. I've listened to all the arguments since then, and my opinion about the merits of fluoride has not changed, and I've not heard any of my colleagues say that their position on the merits of fluoride has changed. However, since our vote, a sufficient number of voters have referred fluoridation to the ballot. Now, the Portland City Code governs this process and our actions today. And I think it's important to note that this council didn't set those rules. We're following those rules. And those rules were established pursuant to our charter. So for me, and I kept coming back to this when I was engaging some of you, the question is it in the public interest to schedule a vote earlier than May 20th of 2014? I've thought long and hard about this question. I've talked with people on both sides. And I assure you, I've listened extremely carefully to the thoughtful testimony today. A couple of the criticisms that I've heard about moving the vote to May of 2013, I think, need to be addressed. And the first is the idea that somehow it is fundamentally improper or unethical for us to even have this discussion. And I realize sometimes the views people have about fluoride bleeds into the discussion we're having today, but I've heard those words, improper, unethical. And I don't understand that argument, because our code specifically authorizes, indeed directs us, to follow a particular standard and to make this judgment. So respectfully, that doesn't help me make a decision. I've also been struck by an argument that somehow scheduling an earlier vote violates an unspoken public trust. That one has gotten my attention because I think it's so outrageous. Our laws specifically protect the right of Portlanders to refer any action of this council to the ballot. But our laws also give the council on a referendum the authority to make its best judgment on the timing of that election. I want to just observe something because I think it's important for those who believe there's something in our law that guarantees a specific length of time for debate. Had this council taken up the issue of fluoride next year about this time, and had a sufficient number of voters been successful of referring it to the ballot, we would have had a three-month election. And nothing this council could do would change that. In other words, there is nothing in our law which guarantees any particular length of time. So when I hear unspoken or explicit breach of public trust as an argument, I frankly don't know where that comes from. But there's a sign that I've seen in this room today, and it says, respect the voters. And I've thought a lot about that because it has a certain logic, and it's a good soundbite. But let me turn it around for a moment. What if we have an election in May of 2013 and the overwhelming majority of Portlanders who vote agree that we should put fluoride in our water? Have we respected those voters by waiting a year needlessly? That, I think, is something we ought to think about, because we keep assuming the outcome of an election, and we keep assuming that some block of voters speaks for all. And frankly, I find that presumptuous. Before this hearing, I went back and reviewed the testimony that we took in September. One statement in particular by my colleague Dan Saltzman stood out. He said, and I quote, "The dental health of a child during his or her formative years will affect the child for his entire life." Dan's right. Children, particularly those in low-income families and communities of color, are suffering from rampant tooth decay and continue to be at risk. There is no time to waste. I vote aye.
Adams?
Well, I want to thank everyone who took time out of their day to come testify, whether for or against. I appreciate the public discussion, and I want to thank my colleagues on the City Council for their very reasoned position statements. Thanks again to Commissioner Leonard for bringing this issue forward. And I would just like to add a few things that have not already been covered. One is the poisonous nature of fluoride. And I would encourage Portlanders to look into what we already put into the drinking water, which includes muriatic acid, which is chlorine, which is used in the production of plastic. It is very dangerous in the wrong amount and with the wrong doses. And if you were to put muriatic acid on the ballot, it would, to take it out of the water system, it would be supported by most Portlanders, most Americans, and most Oregonians. The second thing I want to put out there is that there clearly is something that has gone very askew in the consideration of this issue. Nationally, we know that 4 out of 10 children will suffer from serious pediatric dental disease. If there were other issues in Portland that were ravaging our youth, if there were 4 out of 10 Portland youth that were being impacted by a preventable disease, we would have been on that issue years ago. And yet this one continues, this issue, pediatric dental disease, continues to be sort of stuck. What I like about this, that we have under Commissioner Leonard's leadership and the community coalition that brought this forward, we have brought this issue to the surface, and it's time to make a decision. I would also say that if there was a treatment for a disease ravaging 4 out of 10 Portland youth that had been scientifically observed and studied across thousands of square miles of Earth for 65 years with 3,000 peer-reviewed studies and 17 independent peer-reviewed studies, if there was a positive intervention that by all of that work, over all of that time and observation, on any other issue besides this one, oddly, we would have done it a long time ago. I know that those that are concerned, they're concerned from the best possible motivations. But it is not convincing. And it's not convincing those that for years denied the bulk of the scientific research that was double-blind, double-counted for decades that smoking causes cancer, or for decades we have fought against those that didn't believe there was enough study or enough good study that greenhouse gas emissions cause global climate change. The comparison among those is not the substance. The comparison that I make among those three issues is at a certain point of rigor, independent rigor, independent scientific rigor, I'm going with the preponderance of the evidence. And that's why I'm voting for this, for Portland kids, for kids that have no, absolutely no choice in the families or the conditions or the predicaments that they're born into. And I will strongly support this measure on the ballot. Aye. We are adjourned.